Welcome to the first episode of season 9 of the GRC and Me podcast. I'm Megan Manivel, and I'm thrilled to welcome Rishi Khurana, the Cybersecurity GRC Product Manager Lead at Google. From a software engineering intern to the global program manager and now a product lead, Rishi has seen her fair share of GRC challenges. And today we're diving into the exciting and sometimes terrifying world of artificial intelligence. Welcome, Ruchi. It's great to have you here. Let's start with an easy one. What's one thing that's not on your LinkedIn profile that we should know about you?
Hey Megan, thanks. Well, there are a lot of things that you should know about me, but if you're asking just one, I would say I'm a mom of for 4-year-old toddler, and she keeps me busy all the time. So that's on the top of my mind. So that is my one thing that is not on my LinkedIn.
I love that. 4-year-olds certainly have a lot of energy for sure. I'm sure they keep you on your toes, much like the cybersecurity industry, right? Always keeping us on our toes. So I think moms make the best cybersecurity folks for sure.
For sure. Both of them keeps me up at night.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There you go. Well, let's get into our MythBusters. I'm going to say true, moms make good cybersecurity folks, but let's see if some of these are true or false. So let's talk about integrating AI into your organization. So once it's there in your tech stack and you've gone through the compliance processes, right? Monitoring is not important. It's less critical, right? You've already assessed the AI tool.
False. I believe like continuous monitoring is the key, no matter what technology you're using, be it cloud, AI, whatever. You really need to monitor all the technologies because attacks are getting sophisticated, compliance regulations are coming on and on. So monitoring is the key.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would hope that most of our listeners would agree with you on that one. So next then, and you maybe already answered this, but managing AI risk is the same as any other cyber enterprise risk. Is that true or false?
I'm in between, right? Like,
Okay.
yeah, kind of leaning more towards false because I think the mindset of enterprise risk management is the bottom line framework that everybody needs to adopt. I know there are like certain companies and certain organization who even doesn't think about risk management. So I think getting that mindset is important, be it any type of risk. And of course, like AI risk is a little different than like traditional infrastructure risk or cloud risk, right? So then there are some element of AI risk that organizations have to consider.
Excellent. All right. So you have to start with risk and then add AI risk on top. I see. All right. Well, last one then. Let's see about this one. AI is too new. It's not worth the risk. I'm just going to stay out of it. Is that a good idea or a bad
False.
idea?
Big false. Because I read this somewhere, right? Like AI not gonna replace your job, but people who know AI will replace your job, right?
Yes, very true.
So everyone needs to learn all these new tools, technology, adapt themselves ASAP. They should be like savvy about the technology. And as a cyber risk and compliance professionals, we should think about how we're going to secure it. So I would disagree with that it's not worth taking the risk. Absolutely, you have to adjust to the new and upcoming technology.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that one for sure. Well, awesome. So let's pivot a little bit. Let's get into the Q&A because I'm really interested in your take on this. Where do you think we are, GRC as an industry? Where do you think we are on our AI journey?
Okay, great question. And I would give you an analogy here, right? Like, I love cars. I love driving sports cars. So let's start there. So I would say if I have to compare AI with driving a car, we know basics of it, right? Like, we can probably drive in a parking lot and can understand a little bit of AI, play with like, tools like open source model or like some other enterprise products, right? Things like that. So that's where we are. We are starting on the journey when it comes to the compliance industry, of course, we are also scared of using it. And I'm talking from a grand scheme of things, right? Like not from one organization perspective. This is me talking to other industry professionals and how people think about it overall. We are not ready for the freeway yet, right?
No.
So I think people do have like basic automation in place, basic GRC products in place, but when it comes to really using the power of AI and ML, I think we are still nascent. We are still learning to drive on the freeways, and that's where we are as an industry. But it's changing though, right? Like AI can help us with solving a lot of compliance problem. I'm a big advocate of it, so I'm looking forward for like 2025, 2026, that how compliance professionals and GRC professionals can leverage AI and ML.
I love that. And I really love that analogy because I actually have a 15-year-old who is learning to drive on the freeway right now. So I like that. We're in our learner's permit phase. And as we grow, we're going to start to learn more and more as an industry. That's fantastic. That's a great approach. And I think a lot of people watching from home probably have that same sense of, there's a wide variety of uses, and we're just starting to dip our toes in there. So that's great, Rishi. Well, on that note, then, what should organizations who are wanting to start down that journey or go a little further, what should they be concerned about when it comes to that AI security and compliance?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I would say there are three sides of the coin. First side of the coin is how attackers can use AI, right? Like, attackers are getting more sophisticated. There are more sophisticated phishing attacks, right? Like, there are a lot of deep fakes. People are trying to create a lot of like video content, audio content. You can fool a other people. So there is like from a security perspective purely, there is how attackers are using AI to enhance their attacking power, things like that. So that's like one side of the coin. Second side of the coin, or I said like three sides, so maybe triangle, not the coin. Second side of the triangle is more about how attackers can target AI systems themselves, right? Like how people are doing data poisoning with a certain model. Like you're gonna put a lot of crappy data into it, gonna spit out crappy data, right? So really thinking about how we can do AI or build AI in a responsible manner. There is like good data in, good data out. Perform like good risk assessments as an organization into your models. Always keep an inventory of the model. So basically the core of it, right? Like how we can secure the core of it. And then third side of the triangle is more about privacy, right? Like data privacy is the big thing when we talk about GDPR and things like that. We want to make sure we are not like taking people's data. The data is properly anonymized, things like that. There has to be transparency on why you are collecting the data, why you're using that data, where are you using that data. So that's more from a privacy and compliance perspective. Also, like we do have like few compliance frameworks, not a lot. I know there is like a lot of compliance frameworks that are in building right now, but whatever we have, making sure that at least we have checks and balances in place. And again, I'm purely talking from a GRC professional mindset, right? So I want to make sure that when my business wants to use certain models for their business purposes, which is great, awesome, I'm supportive of that. But as a GRC professionals, we should think about how we want to make sure we are building it in a more secure and compliant way.
Absolutely. And you bring up a really great point too, specifically with data poisoning or even like model inversion attacks where, they're focusing on the model, and that's not necessarily something that traditional software has as a threat vector. And so when you think about it's not just this expanding attack surface, but it's also these new threat vectors, these new attacks they can have, and then the valuable data that's in there. So it's the trifecta of risk there that we have to consider. So that's really great advice. I like that. And I want to hone in on something because you mentioned ML, you mentioned machine learning. So I want to get your take on this. How can AI and maybe more specifically with this machine learning assist with cybersecurity and GRC processes? Because we talked a little bit about, assessing the risk of AI, but how can that AI actually help us?
Yeah, great question, right? Like, I want us to take a step back. If I don't have any technology here, right? Like, let's think about what GRC people do, putting myself in the user's shoes, which I do in my day job every day. So, let's say I'm running a GRC function and there is a new regulation that comes in that my enterprise needs to comply with. The step number one is really understanding that particular framework. Right, like, or going line by line, reading like 1,000-page PDF and figuring out, okay, what exactly this regulation is asking for in the plain English text, and how does it convert to like security language? So that's first use case of using machine learning models, right? Like, okay, can we have a product or technology where I upload any framework, any PDF, it decomposes my PDF line by line, map it to my internal controls or the common controls that my company has, and give me like a clear posture of what is implemented, not implemented, things like that. So that's what I call like the start of the compliance journey.
Yeah,
Now,
that like instant gap analysis comparatively, where you don't have to spend hours going through a spreadsheet and a PDF, right?
correct. So that is like one use case that comes immediately to my mind. Now, moving on to the next step of the journey, which is more about control implementation. Now we have identified what controls we need to comply with. We identified the gaps on it. Now the control implementation of it. For control implementation, you may need to reach out to different control owners and operators, right? Like, as a GRC professional, you keep on bugging them with emails, meetings, things like that. And
Bribe them
definitely,
with donuts, you know?
everything. So maybe that's where you use like technology to send like automated bugs or Jira tickets or reminders, right? Like, again, I'm giving like very tactical use cases because I know like when people, especially GRC professional, they want to use AI technology and ML technology, but they're like, for what? Like, what are the uses, right? Like, so just thinking through those use cases may help the audience. Moving on from control implementation to more on like control monitoring. We can use technology to make sure we are getting the right monitoring signal. And if a control is regressing, or there is a control drift from a previous state, can we use like AI to send an alert or things like that to control operators and owners? So that's another tangible use case in the journey of the compliance. Next step in the journey of compliance is more about audit. Of course, everybody loves audit. I'm being fantastic here. So nobody loves audit anyway.
I started as an auditor. I think I loved it at one point, but it's gone now.
Yes. So, Iman, right, like a practical use case will be how we can do automated evidence collection for the audit. How we can, now we have collected all these evidences, can we generate a full-fledged SOC report? Report generation is like very easy use case, right? Like, we know auditors, and Megan, you have been the auditor in your previous life. I have worked with auditors. We all know auditor spends like, I wouldn't say hours, it's like weeks and months of time writing that one SOC 2 report or FedRAMP report, like whatever it is. Like, definitely that's the biggest use case that companies should consider, must consider. So especially like with generative AI, like we can compile those reports, things like that. And then I know there are a lot of like industry bodies like OSCAL, FinOS, Rego. I wouldn't say they're fully leveraging AI ML, but like people are coming up with the novel ideas of how we can generate those audit packages in more machine readable format, things like that. So I think we can see some potential there too. So just to sum it up, right? Like, I think when it comes to leveraging AI ML for GRC use cases, there is a lot of things, there are a lot of use cases that we as an industry can automate, and we are pretty manual industry as I compare to like some other sophisticated industry, right? Like GRC as a domain is pretty manual, so I think we have a lot of potential to grow.
Yeah, it's interesting. You kind of walked through that journey, right, of across TRC, and I like how it was kind of stepped, right? So you may not jump right to the end of it, but you've got some actionable steps you can take. And it's really interesting. I was actually having a conversation with a Gartner analyst recently about exactly this: is AI across the three lines of defense? And he had a similar perspective as you of, a lot of times once you get to audit, it's actually not as clear as how you can use it. And so, like you said, things like automated evidence collection or even automated control testing, where you can, if it's a binary, yes, no, AI can tell you if you comply or not, in an instant. So lots of really great use cases. I love that you're giving our listeners a lot of inspiration, hopefully, here. So well, with that, once let's say folks at home, they listen to you, they put everything in place, they've got these systems. What are some things, that as they're using AI that they should keep an eye on when they're monitoring? What are those kind of metrics or measures of success that people might want to be able to monitor to know how their AI is doing?
Great question, right? Like I would again like bubble it up a little bit. It's not like more about how there's AI is doing. It's more about what your business goals are. What is your company trying to achieve? That's how I look at things, right? Like let's say and it's different for different companies. If I'm a startup, right? Like I'm gonna just chase that first SOC 2 so that I can just release my product out and companies can start using it. It's a very different mindset and goals and success measure for a startup who's just trying to get their first certification versus a mid-sized company where they have like some certs and some governance, risk, and compliance processes in place, and they are looking for more scalability. Okay, now I have five compliance certs, and I need to expand geographically into like different location or from an industry perspective into different industries. I need like healthcare financial services certs, or I need like German certs and things like that. So mindset of that particular mid-sized company is very different when it comes to goals and success measures. And then when we are talking about different hyperscalers, where we have like 300, 400 certifications that we comply with, 300, 400 products that we need to adjust those certifications for, right? Like the scale is totally different, and the success measures and UAS monitoring measures, that is very different because now we are only talking about, okay, we caught our basics right. It's more about now monitoring and leveraging technologies to mo get better at monitoring, right? Right? Like, so I would say for all the listeners, first you have to identify what type of company you are. What are your business goals? Because as GRC professionals, we are kind of sometimes disconnected with what is the larger goal of the company. And we are not like connected to chief product officers or CEOs. Like, what is the goal they are trying to achieve? So I have said this before too, like I want GRC professionals to be business enablers and not business blockers, right? So I think having that mindset really helps, and I think will really help you to be successful. So once you have identified, okay, my company's 2 year, 3 year goal is to expand here or do this or have this much of revenue, now you can work backwards. And that becomes your success criteria too. Because now it's not only about tactically how many controls your team is monitoring. It's more about, okay, my team is monitoring X controls, leveraging X technology. If we don't do these controls, here is the risk of it. Then you have started measuring risk as well. And if you don't do this, this is the risk. And because of this risk, there is X dollar value of revenue that gonna impact your business. So if you think that way, like that broadly, you are not just into the nitty-gritties of like, hey, what is my compliance monitoring metrics? But you are giving leadership complete picture of X control needs to be implemented by X date. Otherwise, there is this risk and this gonna impact your bottom line or revenue or whatever it is, and you will tend to get more buy-in, and you'll be surprised like how many people will support you. It's just telling the whole story and not just getting into Yes, you have to get into tactics of
Yeah.
control monitoring, how you're gonna make sure the monitoring is efficient, how you're gonna make sure you have proper coverages around all your products and things like that. There is like a lot goes behind that one control monitoring metrics, but in addition to that, there are other things on the spectrum that GRC teams needs to consider.
No, it's interesting. You hit the nail on the head. You have to tie the risk to business impact, whether it's, a traditional cyber risk, it's a new risk with AI, it's a product, whatever that is. And I hear a lot of times folks will, they're leading with AI, and it's, well, what's the goal? What are you trying to achieve? And I always say, you don't want to do AI for the sake of AI, right? It has to be aligned with something so that you can get everybody on board, which is ironic because that's actually the next question I was going to ask you was about how do you get everybody kind of on board and prioritize some of those things across those diverse departments and those business units? Because sometimes that business goal, they might have some conflicting priorities, right? So how do you think you can prioritize some of those risks when it comes to the diverse departments and stuff?
Yeah, I would say it's again going back to the basics, right? Like GRC. The step one is G. Do we have that right governance in place? Do we have three lines of defense built out in the company? It's very important to understand like how you're gonna align with your business partners. If you're using a new AI technology or your business wants to use AI for certain goals, you as a GRC professional really need to know what product they are developing. Are they just developing, you're a bank and you're just developing like a chatbot, or you're a bank and you're using AI to secure secure a lot of like payment cards data, a lot of AI things. So there are like very diverse business use cases that your business teams are trying to achieve. So putting yourself in shoes of your business, really try to understand what is the business goal. Set up three lines of defense properly. There is also this element of line 1.5 of defense, which I'm seeing like a lot of companies adopting.
I've never heard of that. For our listeners, can you tell us what line 1.5 is, please? Sorry.
Absolutely. So think of this as like embedding security and compliance teams within your business so that when your chief product officer is developing a certain product and gonna roll out certain product. You hear about like secure by design, secure by
Yeah.
default, compliance by design, things like that. Yes, it's theoretical, great, but practically, how you're gonna achieve it? You have to think from a people process technology perspective. From a
Yeah.
people perspective or purely from the governance perspective, line 1.5 of defense means embedding security and compliance professionals with the product development professionals, right? Like so that
Yeah.
they can have those conversation of, hey, this is like the bare minimum of security and compliance, like baseline. You have
Yeah.
to embed into the product development life cycle before you're gonna launch this product externally. So that is like 1.5 of line of defense. And then once you have that during the development life cycle, then second line of compliance folks can come and of course do the risk assessment of it, evaluate it, whether it's fine or not fine. And then of course third line of defense, internal audit gonna come and audit. So this is becoming really popular. So for the listeners, I would say like really having those compliance and security advocates embedded in the first line of defense is like really important, or like with the business is really important.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's very interesting, and I actually had never heard that before. I'm gonna go do some research on that. I appreciate you bringing that up, and listeners, if you have some insight or ideas on line 1.5, would love to hear about it in the comments. So I got one more question, and you answered it a little bit actually. What we were just talking about when we want to talk about companies ensuring that their AI usage aligns with some of those policies and regulations and stuff, but we haven't really talked yet about third parties. And so I'm curious, how can organizations kind of keep an eye on their third parties to make sure that they're in alignment with those policies and regulations?
Yeah, so again, I'm gonna tie back previous questions and this question. Like we spoke about governance in the last part, right? Like there is other two components, like GR, risk management. Do
Yep.
we have proper risk management in place? And big part of risk management is third-party risk management. You are asking about like how do we gonna take care of third parties? So risk management, and then I'll come back to this, but before that, like there is also an element of compliance that companies needs to consider. Again, business goals. Are you trying to expand in different verticals, regions? Like th from that's where your compliance requirements will come. But specifically now talking about third parties, definitely doing like the first set of due diligence even before you start using a third party. Same with like any AI provider. You have to make sure they have at least basic security and compliance in place. Check what your contractual obligations is with that particular third party. If you as a company needs to comply with certain regulations, things like that, make sure that is called out in the contract so that your third party kind of valuing the same standards and have the same bar on which you can hold them accountable. So contractual obligation is important. And then last one is ongoing reviews, right? Like we started with this like ongoing monitoring. It's the same concept. You need to do ongoing risk assessment as well, right? It's great. Like company A has or third party A has an amazing security posture today, but tomorrow it can change. So how you can ensure that you have ongoing monitoring on your third party, and especially if you're using that third party for critical business purposes. So again, knowing your business purpose, your use case is important. Like if you're using that third party to do something on your prod environment, things like that, the way you are assessing that third party will be very different because now it became your critical vendor and you have to make sure you hold them accountable for the best practices versus you're gonna just use a third party just for having fun, writing emails. Not internal emails, but yeah, right? Like just generating emails. It's a very different use case. And when it comes to evaluating your third parties for that use case, it will be different. So figuring out if your third party, AI third parties, whatever it is like high risk, medium risk, low risk, and performing assessments on them accordingly.
Yeah, that's really great. And it is, it's an extension of your network, right? So same monitoring you're going to put in place internally, you want to apply out there as well. So well, great. Well, as we wrap up today, we've talked a lot about the challenges of using AI and ML and even, some just basic automation in GRC. And so I'm curious, Rajiv, what is some advice that you have for our folks on overcoming some of those challenges? What's your best piece of advice?
Great question. I have a lot, but I will summarize this with you. I was talking to somebody and I came up with this OOTD, not outfit of the day. It's organization, right? Like O, operations, O, T, technology, and D, data. So not one piece of advice, but four piece of advice for
That's
GRC.
fair. It's
So,
one acronym. You're
yeah.
good.
I would say it's really important to make sure organizationally you are set up for success. I think we spoke about it a lot on like three lines of defense and how you can get buy-in from your other stakeholders, right? Like, so organization, having right people, right mindset is very important. Second is operations, really nailing down the processes because that is important. If you don't have a process of clearly embedding security and compliance into product development lifecycle and you're launching rogue products, not gonna help. So having the right processes, balanced processes, not overdoing it, but not even underdoing it, balanced processes, right technology, right? Like again, like you need to realize where you are as a company. Okay, you have a basic GRC tool in place. Awesome. Let's explore AI and ML and enhance your team's efficiencies, things like that. But even if you don't have like a basic tool in place and you are using spreadsheets still, you need to think about what is your first technology that you want to use, right? Can be like experimental AI, things like that. I have seen companies using that, but really leveraging technology. And then last one, which is I think the most important one, is data. Because a lot of companies do struggle with what is my control inventory, how it is implemented, where is the data, right? Like good quality data in will help you to get to good quality data out, pass audits and things like that. But if you don't have your basics right in terms of data, you will struggle. So that's why I know, like, traditionally we used to think about people, process, technology, but I would add the element of data to it as well.
Yeah, I mean it's so important, especially in AI, because it is, bad data in gets bad outcomes. And I always think about it too, is what's the access? What level of data is being impacted here? And that really, in my mind, determines the risk. And so my advice, my success strategy really is looking at the AI case by case. It's not the same level of risk with each system or each use, and being able to track that can get overwhelming. So I joke, start with a list, right? Get a sticky note, write it down, get an start listing that out and what data is involved, who has access to it, because that's going to start to realize, okay, now where do I put the controls? But if you don't know what's out there, you can't apply the controls, right?
100%, yes.
Yeah. Well, you've heard what we've had to say, and we want to hear from you all in the comments. What's your best piece of advice on how to overcome some of the challenges implementing AI? Well, that's a wrap for this episode of GRC and Me. Ruchi, it has been a pleasure chatting with you about all the things AI. Whether you're using AI to achieve business outcomes, designing and deploying AI systems, or looking to enhance your cybersecurity processes, security must stay at the front and center. Transparency is your key to success. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all on our next episode of GRC and Me.